Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa.
Hi, guys. It's America.
And welcome back to In the Open. Today, we're going to talk about what is couples therapy like?
Dun, dun, dun.
Scary for both of us because we're used to being very vulnerable, and we've talked about our personal experiences, but this one feels different because we're bringing in people who live in our lives right now. But I think for the audience, it's important for you to know that I've not ever personally been in couples therapy. I've been in a lot of personal therapy, and I've given some couples therapy, and I'm about to start couples therapy. But America,
I've actually been through the process of couples therapy.
With different people,
yes.
That's extra, because that's like, oh, you get
to... I have an additional star.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The idea, I think, around couples therapy, a lot of people have this misconception that, like, you have to be at a point where you're just like, I don't know what to do. And that may be the case in a lot of situations, while in others, people may be better equipped at understanding their limitations and their strengths and are able to be like, maybe we should talk to somebody, you know?
Well, and I think so most people are in the explosive state by the time they get to couples therapy, what you're saying. But I think the other version of that you're describing is premarital support. Because that's like kind of nice when you're like, oh, I'm going to get married and it's nice. But do you think that just some people are so insightful that they're like, oh, we don't have any problems, but we should go to couples therapy?
No. That's the thing. I don't think that people have to have like set problems to get to this point of being like, let's go to therapy because that's like the last thing that we should try.
Maybe it's useful for us to each talk about what got us to couples therapy.
Okay, before we do that, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So you said you've been on the side where you're providing couples therapy.
Yeah.
And when you've been in that role, what situation were the couples in? Were they like at a place where they were just like, dude, something's going on, we can't figure it out? Like, what was it like?
Generally, there is some, I don't think you go to therapy unless there's a problem, but the problem could be a continued communication problem. It could be that one partner had a mental health challenge that the other person came in to figure out how to support. Okay. Or sometimes I'd be working with one person, I'd be working with one person and they would say, would you mind if I could bring in my partner? Okay. Right? That's a common situation. There were others where I would start with the couples, mm-hmm. and it was just about can we figure out how to resolve conflict and learn how to talk and be better? Other situations include domestic violence or like, you know, when things go
kind of more severe.
We all have capacity to do things to hurt each other emotionally, physically. These are all related to interpersonal relationships. And so when you're supporting people with domestic violence, like I'm just saying, like, yes, I've supported couples who have domestic violence or other very traumatic things that have happened, you know, loss of family members, cheating.
Yeah.
Just the messiness of coupleness.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's helpful. So I'm going to answer your question now. So earlier on, I tried couples therapy with my previous husband. And the reason we had, well, not really we, I say we, but it wasn't we, it was me that I was like, I don't know what's happening. Like our communication had really like broken down to like any type of conversation that we had was just an argument. I'm in mental health. So I was like, dude, we should try to go to therapy. Maybe it would help us. And he wasn't really into it. He was just like, I don't want to talk to somebody that's a stranger. They're going to know our business, you know. And it was like, okay, well, we can't talk to one another. So if we don't want to involve anybody else that knows us, you know, a friend, a family member, then a therapist is the next best thing, unless we're going to go to a priest, which we're not, because we're not like fully like, you know, in that space. So I started, and then it was like, maybe you should bring your partner in. And then he went one time. And I thought the therapist was fabulous with me. Like, she really helped me work through my stuff. But he really wasn't into it.
Yeah. So that's really interesting because I have a rule. If I do couples therapy with a couple, I won't do individual therapy with any one of those partners as an individual client post couples therapy while I'm also doing couples therapy, because this will be interesting for me to be on the flip side, which is where you're at. But like, there's just a dynamic where a therapist can't take sides, like, you know? And so when I'm doing therapy with one person and a partner comes in, the goal is not necessarily couples therapy because my alliance is already with my first client, right? And so any partner coming in is going to feel that way. And that's real and true. You have to honor that and understand that's how that person comes in. Now, as a client, I think only because I know that, I'm like, I want my husband to go find the therapist. I want him to feel comfortable with this person because I think I've been in therapy enough that I can deal with whatever feelings I'm wrestling with if I don't feel like comfortable with that person. Because I think in therapy, you always have these moments where you're like, oh, am I going to be honest or not?
Yeah, I get that.
Or like, oh, the therapist is like taking, you know, you're always constant, like you measure in your relationships. You're going to measure in therapy.
It's funny because for me, going through that first process was very eye-opening. I started working with this therapist on my own. So she really had my worldview understood and everything. And then when this guy comes in, it's like, okay, compared to this, what's happening? I was personally at a point that it was like a last ditch effort to determine, is this going to work or not?
Yeah.
So the therapy and the fact that this individual didn't really want to do it kind of popped some nails in the coffin and was like, peace. Sorry, dude. This is, and you know, it's not, it wasn't that easy, but it was just to the point that it was just like, okay, we've gotten to where we are. There's no better space for us than to like live separate lives.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting divorced, you know? Yeah. So that process helped me kind of further understand what had happened. And then I worked individually with the therapist after and like kind of through my divorce, I think, but it helped me understand like the usefulness of having a therapist work with you and your partner.
Yeah. So what is that like now? Because you're in a different situation.
Yeah. I'm in a different situation that my partner is, at the beginning, he was kind of like, I don't understand it. I don't know what the use of it would be. Where I was like, this is what happened to me before. This is not where you and I are at. Like, we're going to like end our relationship. But it's helpful because I feel like I'm continuing to do things that were not helpful. So it was trying to help me figure out how to help our relationship. And then he understood it in that way. And he was like, let's work on things that are messing us up.
Yeah.
So very different kind of feel.
That's so interesting because you had some, you used your past experience to do what you said at the beginning, which was to start this process early because you were catching yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually really relate to that because, so obviously the person who has done the most research in couples success has been Gottman. And he talks about the four horsemen, meaning like you can have criticism, contempt, feeling defensive, and then stonewalling, right? And he's like, basically, we've done all this research and watched people, and like when you do this. So my version of what you described and basically what preempted us to go was I was like, I am doing these things. Like I am going, I am getting into this space, at least in my mind. My husband didn't see that. So he wasn't there, but I was like, oh, I am getting to a place where when he does this thing, I am getting mad inside and I'm blocking him. I'm just like, X you. I'm going to either explode or after exploding, if I pass my exploding phase, it was just like shutting down.
Yeah.
Like the only way to survive is to not care. And I feel like that's dangerous. So I had the same thing. Yeah. It was like, I realized I was getting into really bad patterns of thoughts and behaviors that I was like, oh, if we don't take care of this and nip this in the butt right now.
You know, what's interesting about couples therapy is, and I've always said this about therapy in general, you know, in your core, what you want, you know, like you may not be able to voice it. You might not even really know that it exists, but I think each person knows what they want out of relationships, and that's all kinds of relationships. But in an intimate relationship with your husband, your partner, whoever, we get into these patterns that either get exacerbated, like they're made worse because this person knows what buttons to push. And it's like, dude, do that one more time. I will kill you. Like, you know, but yeah. When we have like friendships and things like that, it doesn't get to that place. Because we can easily be like, dude, you're pissing me off right now. But if you say that to your partner, the way that they hear it is totally different.
Yeah. So
it complicates things.
And I think part of the dynamic in relationships is that, unlike your friendships, where we engage in a stance of not wanting to jump to conclusions about what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do with our partner. Yeah. Like, so before you finish saying blah, 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 I have already heard 5 statements that I have heard.
Yeah.
Even though those are not the words that you use.
Yeah.
And I think just because you've been around a human being as much as you are with your partner, there are so many years to just pile on that, those habits and those patterns and those assumptions and that loss of willingness to give your person the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
It's a chaotic process, right? Because you're basically taking all your fights and yeah. you're trying to bring it into a 50-minute session.
Yeah.
And but that's not what, like, the therapist, like, that's, like, the hardest thing, actually, for a therapist. Because that's like, that's not conductive.
Yeah.
But I do recognize that there is this, there have been times where some people, they have to get that out. Like, if I had to explain the range of, like, what I've seen, there are people who come in and they just haven't done that enough, or that's the way that they're communicating. The hardest thing is, as a therapist, is sitting in a room where two people are going to fight in front of you. And then my question is like, wait, it didn't start this way, but now it's that this way. And like, where do I intervene? And how do I help them build insight and love and care for one another again, when this is the state?
It's like anything, you're going to bring your baggage with you. And what I think is very useful when you start thinking about, is couples therapy an option for me? Is maybe you may be more inclined to do it than your partner. Mm-hmm. And most often that will be the case. I very rarely, in speaking to other people, have them been like, oh yeah, we were just gung-ho to do it. It's like, no. There are a lot of reservations about what you're going to get out of it. People knowing your business, you know, there's this whole connection to that aspect of how much you should share in that session and the sessions that you do. But for me and for us, it was really around improving our relationship so that we do not get into really negative spaces.
Yeah.
But we had that intended goal. Like, when we decided we were going to embark on that, we were like, let's do this, you know?
I think just like individual therapy, having shared goals, or even just spending some time to think about those goals and being on the same page about them at the front end is helpful.
Yeah.
Because I think the equivalent is like, we've talked about what to expect from therapy. And if I just go and I'm falling apart, like, that's very, it's okay. The therapist will give shape to that. Right. But as a couple, I think we are more successful if we can come in on the same page.
Yeah.
And about some things, not everything. Yeah. Just one thing, one just shared thing.
Just agreeing on, like, we're going to commit to coming whatever day at such time. That's even a small step, because if you're not familiar with the therapy process, you just may be very hesitant. So you don't know how well it's going to work. But I also think it's important, like, for us, we had tried a female therapist and he wasn't really feeling it. He was like, dude, she's completely on your side. And I was like, no, she's not. She's actually a really good therapist. But I was like, you know what? All right. Don't worry. We're going to nix that therapist. And we found like a male therapist mm-hmm. to make sure that he felt comfortable.
Yep.
For me, it doesn't matter. Male, female, doesn't matter. But for him, he was really more around this idea. Okay. He's going to understand my perspective more. And I was like, okay, dude, that works.
That is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very hard to be in couples therapy if what one person absolutely feels like the therapist is on their side or on the other side, because I think that's just a natural part of, mm-hmm. we talked about that. That's like the first step, right? Yeah. So successful couples therapy probably means you have to make sure that the person that you're seeing, you feel like is a unbiased,
yeah.
in the middle supporter of your relationship and your couplehood, not siding with one person over the other, because then therapy doesn't become about your relationship. It becomes about your therapist.
Right, right. And that's, for us, it has been very helpful to have him be male. And also, he's Hispanic, so it totally helps us because he understands the dynamic that exists. Yeah. Because, you know, we're bilingual, we're bicultural. So if it was a white therapist and 50 minutes, like, I want to make the most out of it. I don't want to have to explain anything to you about all these nuances that exist.
Cultural nuances. Yeah.
So it's been very useful. I think, too, there may be a misconception that you're just going to go in and like sit and be like, so tell me about your week. And it's like, no, like our therapist is like, what do you guys have you guys been struggling with something? And generally be like, yeah, you know, and we like, and we select like whatever we're going to talk about. And he helps us talk to one another in a way that is useful and not how our normal conversation would be like, and where you're hearing like all these like preconceived ideas that you're just like, oh, you said that? No, but your face says something else, you know? So I think it's been very helpful for us.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite things that you've gotten out of couples therapy?
Even though we struggle at times with continuing to improve, which I think is a normal part of any relationship, the things that I appreciate the most are that we're both committed to it. Where I have been at times like, I'm kind of done. And he was like, no, we should continue to go. I'm like, okay, fine. And it has been useful. So the fact that he's committed to it and I'm committed to it is, I think, very important. And then the other positive, I think, for me is that it has helped me recognize my communication style with my partner that I kind of was aware of, but not really.
Yeah.
Until they were like, you realize you do that, or like your tone right there. And it's like, what do you mean right? And I'm like, oh, you mean that tone? And I can hear it. And that, and it's taught me to pay attention to those, like,
to check yourself.
Oh God. Yeah. And it's like, dude, stop it. You know, like, and those are internal conversations that come out of the longer therapeutic session that we have.
For many people in couples therapy, I think though, so much comes down to building up skills to listen again, to care about your partner and like find ways to do things that we just started taking for granted about listening and like,
it's kind of about deconstructing your thought patterns, because you don't realize that you're responding in certain ways until somebody's like, did you realize you just did that? And it's like, no.
Yeah.
And then you take a moment, you're like, wait, did I really? And so in other sessions that you and I have recorded, right, we've talked about the angry monster. And for me, like, that's one of my partner's things. He's like, dude, you get angry so fast, like out of nowhere. And it's like, it's not out of nowhere. It has a reason, you know. But I have to be better able to communicate why I'm getting angry instead of me just getting angry.
Yeah.
You know.
What are some of your fears that you had about couples therapy?
I guess my first fear was, am I going to get to the place where I went to before where I have to get a divorce? I don't want to get a divorce, you know? That was my fear, because I was like, that's what happened in the first one. But I came to understand that that wasn't as a result of therapy. That was as a result of my being able to really look at my feelings with my previous marriage and be like, okay, yeah, this isn't good for you anymore.
Yeah.
So that's very different. So it was about my internal struggle and then just being like, no, don't get confused, yo. That person is that person. This totally person is, don't hurt this person. Don't say stuff that's gonna hurt people.
Yeah.
I don't think that people should wait to go and seek out couples therapy when they're at a point where they're considering ending their relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think you can be very preventative and be like, let's do better.
But people fear, like, if you think about, I think about fears of going into therapy or then couples therapy is that fear of judgment.
Yeah.
But like, and the judgment is weird because it's not just like, it's not just the judgment of my life and my past or whatever I share. Now it's the judgment of how I am in a relationship and I have an audience.
Yeah.
My partner. Yeah. So you're like,
yeah,
it's a little like a boxing match, you know, where like, I think about this on the other side as someone who watches or thinks about how people must feel in this context, but not having ever been there. So you tell me, right? Like, it very much seems like the fear is you're in a boxing match and I'm going to say something, like throw a punch that's cutting. And like, then you kind of wait and you're like, how is this person going to handle this criticism? But you also have a ref who is interpreting the thing. And you're like, what is she going to do? You know? And like, or he going to do or say, or like, what is, you know, I don't know. I think that's
a real fear. I'll tell you what comes to mind when it's not so much boxing, but it's like a duel, like with your swords. You're like, haha, I'm ready. I know, but I'm visually, that's what is comes to my mind.
Okay.
I think what oftentimes will happen is that you get to a place where you do feel like you're sparring and you're just like, yeah, but da da da, but da, and you said this, remember you did that? And then it's the therapist's role really at that moment to be like, okay.
See, that's what I mean, though.
Yeah, you're totally right.
That's a whole another thing. Bringing up the past when part of your strategy as a couple was always to not bring up the past. But then you go to therapy and you're like, oh, is this an invitation to bring up the past? Because I have been making a list in my head and now I get to bring it up.
No, but
I think there's a bit of that, you know?
But that you have to make a decision as a couple whether you're gonna like delve into the past or certain areas of the past to help you figure out what's happening.
Yeah. So a therapist, I think, would try to structure you to think what is a healthy way to mm-hmm. think about the past as it affects your present relationship going forward.
Yeah.
Versus like unhealthy thinking about the past is like point scoring.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Or actually not just point scoring, but like the way that we point score so that I can judge you. I think that's a really screwed up thing that we do as a couple. Like, it's like, I don't even care about the point scoring. It's just so I can say that you're a bad person. And that's a therapist would probably point out like, you know what? That's not a good frame to be
yeah,
in.
That's
you
not
know?
A good
it's really unhealthy.
Way of thinking. But that's the thing. I think what ends up happening is that people working with a therapist, one that you really are comfortable with and come to trust in sharing all this, is that if you are going to look at the past, there are parameters by which you're going to have to follow. It's not about me pointing a finger and be like, you remember that time 20 years ago when you didn't do this? It's not about that. It's like, this happened to us before. Now it's happening again, but why? So you have to kind of understand the past, look at the past to be able to analyze it and say, okay, something happening that's similar or whatever. I also think, you know, there is this aspect of going into it as a we, not me and my partner separately. Because if you're there, you already have a vested interest. Like, you definitely want to see something good come out of this. Yeah.
No, that's really interesting, because that's, as I'm on the other side about to, that feeling is so powerful. That feeling of I'm ready to go into this battle against my partner, not as a we, but to lay it out on the table to win, to make my point about why I'm right. It's like, you know, so this, it's interesting, right? Like, because it's crazy because that's not even a frame that's in my mind. Mm. But when I think about having a mediator, there's something about that dynamic that suddenly makes me want to think about having a conversation in that way.
Yeah.
Even though I know I'm going to let that go. But it was, to me, interesting how easily that seeped into my mind when I'm mad and I think we're going to go to couples therapy.
Yeah.
That's not once we finally settled on going to couples therapy, but when I was mad plus couples therapy, that's what I wanted it to do. I wanted it to help us resolve our conflict, but to win.
So that you're right.
Which is so stupid.
But most people are thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, you may feel you're not getting, you know, you're not vindicated for having the reason, you know, you're right in this situation.
That's different from individual therapy. Yeah. You don't feel vindication an individual therapy.
Yeah. You're not, just like you walk out like, got it, yeah, the therapist said I did it right, you know, like, yeah. I think that's a process.
Do you guys have that in your session?
You know, what's funny is like you're asking me these questions, but I wonder what my partner's understanding, vision, experience of this would be.
Okay.
Because I think it might be very different. You know, I come at it because I'm in mental health. I've been in mental health for years and I'm just like, yo, this is great. You know, like we're talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Not that every time we walk out of therapy, we're just like, oh, la da da, walking down the streets. Like, no, yo, like we can get angry in there, but it has helped us in mostly me, because I can only speak for me, is to think about the way that I respond to stuff and the why I respond in a certain way, mm-hmm. to then help break like some of those patterns.
So do you guys have homework?
No, generally we don't have homework. Well, we have like an overarching framework that we're trying to learn to speak better to one another, mm-hmm. you know, communicating our feelings and our needs. You know, I don't talk about feelings, so it's hard for me. So we are trying to use it all the time.
Yeah.
Do we better. But it's funny, is like if you know how you see in the movies and like you're in, like with interacting with people, you're like, I feel like the face that you're giving me right now
is not a feeling. Feel like you're
So it's like you learn, you pick up bad skills in all like your bad relationships, yeah. and all your good relationships, you just pick up skills that are not effective.
Yeah.
So for us, it's really about learning new skills so that we can help each other out.
Yeah.
To be better.
So it's interesting because my husband and I have a lot of skills, so I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So this is interesting for me as someone who's been on the other side, but now personally going into it, I know what I want. Like I want us to figure out how to be a good couple.
Yeah.
In light of being parents to two small children and having jobs and, you know, just obligation, yeah. and everything. So a lot of this stuff is normal.
Yeah.
Around like just a change of life situation. But I have no idea what it's going to be like.
Are you fearful that you may not have a clear picture of what it will be like?
Only since we started this exact podcast. Because as I'm talking to you, I'm like, oh, crap, I need a goal.
Crap.
I mean, like, is that enough of a goal, you know? I don't know. To communicate better, to figure out what it is that's causing us to get mad at each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've set up guidelines for where our boundaries are for being good to one another. Is that an example? Is we were like, you know what? We can get really mad, but we're not going to cuss at each other. We can cuss at a wall.
Okay.
Say it on the side, but not call you bad cuss names.
Okay.
So that got broken, you know? And then another thing gets broken. And then you just start asking yourself, like, what is your limit of when you cross your boundaries as a couple? And, like, how many things are going to keep getting crossed before you say something is wrong? And, like, part of what I realized in our conversations is there was a real desire for us to want to be like, oh, it's just normal. Like, it's fine. You know, like, it's just like, just go on and just get over that. And a lot of people would tell us that, like, whatever you're dealing with is just totally normal.
It's just normal.
So your kids need to grow up and you're going to be fine or whatever. And in my head, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know if that feels right because for me, it was the moments where I realized, you know what? It's not okay because I'm doing these things in my own head that I know were his four horsemen. We're just like, you know, I'm making these judgment calls in my mind where I'm saying like, well, I just give up on you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. At least for me, those were but then now I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when we go.
I've made this statement before to him and to other people. It's like, if I don't care about you, that's like the worst place you can be, because I'll just, boom, you're off my list.
Yeah. This is you and me. We have a similar coping skill. It's really horrible, actually.
Yeah,
it makes us horrible people.
No, we're not horrible people, Teresa.
It is in a relationship because I have this really hard problem, and I get it stems from my family. Like, our coping skill is, if you burn me, I will protect myself first.
Yeah.
So I will just – I don't need you.
Yeah.
I'll take care of me. And that's really not good. So when I catch myself going to that place, I'm like, oh, damn.
I think, too, like what you were talking about around boundaries is very important. And maybe if you as a couple in general, if they have set boundaries that maybe are both spoken or unspoken, and you're starting to like cross over those boundaries very often, then that can be an indicator like, yo, red flag, something's happening with me, with him, with whoever, with her. Our communication is deteriorating. Our boundaries are like being shot. So think about that when you're, you know, considering if this is an option for you.
Or some people haven't even had that kind of conversation. Yeah. You know, like, and therapy can give shape to that.
Yeah.
You know, helping you understand like, what it is that bothers you so much about what somebody says, because it's, at least in the relationship, it's really hitting something that's so personal, but your partner doesn't see it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Those gems are really helpful. And then to have it in a context where there's a mediator and it's super calm, just so that when it happens, you can be like, whoa, pause, super important. Let's just stop and reflect on this, because I think in a relationship, the normal course is to feel like, whoa, this was super important for me, but I didn't know how to communicate that it was. And then I feel like my partner is just not even getting it.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've been like reading up on all these things or whatever, relationships in general, you know, how to get through to the other person. And I think what happens is most often people just, you may be listening to me, but you're already thinking about something else. And you're just like, dude, no. And what I've come to find now more than ever, and it's like, I really need your attention. I need you to focus on this right now because it's important. And it may be the fact that, I don't know, next week we're going to go have dinner at X place, you know, but I want him to pay attention to that and keep it in his mind, where otherwise it's just like something that's just crossed, you know, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. I think she mentioned it, you know? So it really is about communicating your feelings, communicating your needs.
Yeah. In a partnership. In a partnership. Because we don't do that for ourselves.
Yeah.
But now we have to do it with and for someone else.
But you know what you're talking about, like where people are telling you like, oh, it's normal, things like that. You know, I look to like my parents and other people that have been in relationships for a long time, and they will tell us, you know, this is just part of the struggle. You learn how to be a couple and things like that. And you're right. All of that is a learning process. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But I think what you were saying around boundaries is a critical point to consider when you feel like whatever's happening in your relationship is really weighing you down. Because if you feel like something isn't right, it's the same as individual therapy. Like, do something about it.
Yeah.
If you're interested in doing something for yourself and for your relationship, do something about it. Don't wait.
One of the things I always wonder about is when you go to couples therapy, whether or not you should bring whether or how to bring what bothers you about your partner. And people interpret that different ways, right? You bring, like, they say something, they do something, the way they look,
they breathe,
the breath, the way that he notices my breath, you know, whatever it is, it could be super nitpicky all the way to big stuff. I'm curious for you, how do you shape what's important to bring and not to bring?
I guess I prioritize it based on whatever we've been struggling with. Mm-hmm. For you guys that are out there in the world, Teresa and I are opposite of each other. Really, we are, where I'm like very orderly and structured, and Teresa's kind of like, haphazard and this stuff.
Chaotic.
Yeah. Evil. So our partners are the opposite. So, you know, for me, when I'm struggling, so it's something with him, I'm like, why didn't you do, I don't know.
Oh, you're X married thing. To me?
Yeah.
He's me?
Yeah.
And mine is your, yeah. I'm married to you?
Yes. You know, and I'm like, why didn't you do X thing? And it's like, why? It's not a big deal. And it's like, what do you mean it's not a big deal?
Yeah, mine has a 10-point plan. Mine has a written 10-point plan.
Yeah. So see, that's the thing.
In Outlook.
No, I'm not that severe.
I mean, I'm exaggerating because I'm being a dick.
It's that idea of being able to say, this is why I'm saying this to you right now.
Yeah.
Because it's one tiny thing for you, But for me, it's a bunch of tiny things.
Yeah. So your frame, I think, of saying, I'm going to bring this to the table because it feels important.
Yeah.
And it's so important that that it's worth bringing up.
And I think the therapist will help you do that as well.
Because, if you don't, but yeah.
Yeah. Because you may just be like, nothing. I mean, things are fine. And it's like, okay, are they fine? But what the things that bother you are really important. In some way or another, they're important to you. So that may, for me, that's the place where I start. Like, what's bothering me that I can actually talk to this person about with a mediator mm-hmm. that can help us work through it?
Because therapy is expensive.
Dude, it is so expensive.
I don't got time for that.
Give me 15 minutes. Yeah. For people that are thinking about this, take your time to find the right fit, just like individual therapy.
Yeah.
Make sure that your partner is involved in that decision making yep. so that, you know, it's a combined decision. It's a shared decision. And work towards common goals.
Or take some time before you go to talk about what you want to get out of it.
Yeah.
What are your couple's goals?
Yeah. And if the one therapist that you find doesn't work, find another.
Find another.
Yeah.
And then in the process, take time to think about what's important to you mm-hmm. and what you bring to the table. And expect that you're going to spend a lot of time building skills
yeah.
on how to be
better,
a better partner.
Yeah. How to be a better partner, how to be a better person. It's all intertwined.
A better friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You learn a lot. You definitely yeah. learn a lot.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Keep on fighting.
In the open. Bye, guys.